Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, listeners, it's just the day before the month of Ramadan for us. It's just a good few hours before the month of Ramadan starts for us here in South Africa. But I'm sure everybody's looking forward to this blessed month of Ramadan. Now, today on Monday Morning Focus, I would like to begin by just giving you an idea as to what our programming on this slot will be, inshallah, during the month of Ramadan. Of course, I'll only be coming back on Monday to do my program. So just to give you an idea as to what you can look forward to this special Ramadan programs that we're going to be having. It's called Special Ramadan Focus or Edition of Socially Speaking. Now, as you heard during the launch, that was on Friday, the Ramadan launch on Friday, our theme this year is a season of change. And like most of the programs, of course, we at Socially Speaking will also be focusing on change. Now, like I said, I'll only be here next week, Monday, and we will be looking at how we as women, as mothers, as daughters, as sisters, and as wives, inshallah, and of course, as a family too, can create change in our homes, in our ibadat, around us, and most importantly, within ourselves. Now, how we can use this Ramadan to make a lasting change to our lives. Of course, there are many aspects that we can look at, but inshallah, during this month, we will be just discussing a few, but very important aspects that will hopefully inspire and motivate us to take that first step to, you know, towards changing our lives for the better. Of course, I've got a wonderful guest once again that will be coming in this Ramadan. Okay, she won't be coming in, but we will do it telephonically. Her name is Umi Maryam. She's a journalist, a young mother of three children, mashallah. And she's also conducted adult madrasa classes for ladies in the Johannesburg area. Alhamdulillah. So I'm really looking forward to be able to talk to her, and she will share with us wonderful information. And yes, then we have another, so that would be the fourth slot in Socially Speaking. Then the next slot will be from around about 10:30 until 10:45. That will be followed by a 15-minute slot where we can explore the holistic benefits of Ramadan based on the medicine of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Tibbi Nabawi, and modern-day scientific research. These are very interesting audio clips that Dr. Mujib Hussain actually allowed us to use for the month of Ramadan. It's all about how to keep healthy and happy this Ramadan, inshallah. Now, Dr. Mujib Hussain is a lecturer and researcher of Unani Tib School of Natural Medicine at the University of the Western Cape. So I'm really looking forward to that as well, and I'm sure our listeners will certainly benefit from all that advices. And finally, we hope to end the program then with advices and reminders with our very own Mulana Mohammed Venka from KwaZulu-Natal, who will once again and throughout the month of Ramadan, inshallah, inspire and motivate our listeners, you know, inshallah, for the whole of Ramadan, inshallah. Right, so basically that is what you can look forward to in my program next week. Monday, it will be the same time between 10 and 11. But for today, I would like to share with you our very first audio clips on prophetic medicines. And it's all about different types of prophetic medicine, what prophetic medicine is all about, and the foods in prophetic medicine. It's by Dr. Mujib Hussain, and that, of course, will be followed by Socially Speaking with Maulana Mohammed Venka. And today we will be discussing the importance of Ramadan, and yes, you know, just what is the essence of the Quran and Ramadan, and you know, just basically to tell us how to get the most out of this month of Ramadan, inshallah. So yes, first up is our audio clip by Dr. Mujib Hussain. Stay tuned.
Wa alaikum salam. Prophetic medicine, also known as Sunnah medicine, is the medicine that was practiced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we look at Unani Tib, the word Unani means Greek, and tip medicine. These are Arabic terms. So we find that Yunani tip medicine originates with the ancient Egyptians, who went on to influence the likes of Hippocrates, who is known as the father of modern day medicine. Other philosophers that contributed greatly to this medicine would be the likes of Galen, but without a doubt, the biggest contribution and the most influential contribution to Yunani medicine or Greek medicine would be the contribution by the Islamic Empire. The contribution done during the golden era of Islam, when the Muslims were at the height of science and other intellectual brilliance. So during the Prophet's life, peace be upon him, the term prophetic medicine or Tibba Nabawi was not known. However, we find generations later, 2 to 3 generations later, that certain scholars decided to revive this type of medicine. And prophetic medicine refers to the traditions, the narrations, the words of the Prophet ﷺ, his actions, his prohibitions, tacit approval that was given to his companions when it came to health promotion. And without a doubt, the medicine practiced by the Prophet was preventative medicine. And in modern day times, we find that healthcare practitioners agree that preventative medicine is the only type of medicine that can fend off the increase of chronic conditions that we have today, like hypertension, high cholesterol, diabetes, the psychological problems, etc. So there's 2 types of medicines. You have curative medicine and preventative medicine. Curative medicine is a medicine that would be administered when a patient seeks a cure, but preventative medicine would be medicine practiced every day by the individual. So given the responsibility of health to the individual, so to make those steps every day in order to better one's health. It might seem insignificant, but over time it has a cumulative beneficial effect. Likewise, the onset of illnesses like diabetes, high blood pressure, every day due to incorrect dietary measures, due to stress that builds up over time, we find that the cumulative effect would be these chronic conditions alongside genetic factors, etc. However, in prophetic medicine, we are taught that effort is needed. So as Muslims, we pay a lot of attention to our religious obligation. Prophetic medicine reminds us that health is a religious obligation. So it attaches importance to the well-being of the human being. And we find today with the increase in the popularity of nutritional medicine, a lot of new discoveries are made on those factors that influences our digestion, the assimilation of nutrients, our overall well-being as human beings. And it's no wonder that those findings correlate to prophetic medicine, to the word that was spoken 1400 years ago. It proves those words to be a very beneficial practice in our life. So without a doubt, we should revive this type of medicine, because at the end of the day, prophetic medicine does not go against modern day medicine. Instead, it promotes good health. So prophetic medicine has always been practiced alongside, or it has been incorporated into modern medicine. And today we find that prophetic medicine presents a perfect healthcare solution to the dilemmas that we have today. So in the upcoming series, we will focus on those specific day-to-day recommendations in order to improve our health, to improve our immunity, and to empower us to be more productive in all aspects of our life. Prophetic nutrition. We're going to look at the types of food recommended in prophetic medicine. Wa alaikum salam. As discussed earlier, prophetic medicine holds the key to preventative medicine, to health promotion, because it provides detailed recommendations to daily activities that we take for granted. However, when following these advices for those daily activities, like eating, the eating etiquettes, it has a profound effect to our well-being. So we spoke about eating etiquettes before. For now, we want to look at what did the Prophet ﷺ eat? What is the recommendation from prophetic medicine? If we look at the narrations and traditions, which are numerous in number from different books, we would find that 3 words would explain comprehensively what he ate, or 3 words would provide a good indication to what he ate: simplicity, moderation, and purity. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he ate simple foods, single foods. He avoided foods that were very extravagant in terms of how it was presented. He chose to eat foods as they came from the land, meaning as the food was picked, he chose to eat those foods, because he advised that those foods had a lot of blessings. So he was fond of eating fruits of the season. He was fond of eating fruit and veg numerous types. He was fond of having spices in his food. He loved coarse bread. And if we look at all mentioned, we'll find there's many medicinal value attached to it. We know that coarse bread, which refers to the type of whole wheat bread we have today, would mean that he encouraged a low GI diet or fiber diet, because he avoided flour that was very refined. He chose the coarse flour. So if we were to follow that advice, we would ensure that we promoting good digestion, we avoid constipation. He ate spices in moderation, and we know spices are known today for their medicinal value. The likes of turmeric and cumin, black pepper, are shown to have antimicrobial properties. He chose fruit and veg, and we know the benefits of fruit and veg. He ate fruits of the season, because we know that with every season the fruits present those nutrients needed for the season. For instance, in the heart of winter we find abundance of guavas and oranges, which are high in vitamin C, combating colds and flus. In the summer months, watermelon, all the fruits that are high in moisture, combats the heat and dryness of summer. So we find that even though the Prophet never had access to detailed scientific information, the way he practiced nutrition was on par to the nutritional scientific findings today. So the Prophet would recommend to have simple foods, to eat foods in moderation, to eat the pure food. He loved to eat meat. However, even though meat was a beloved dish to him, he would eat it in moderation. He loved milk. He would have that in moderation. He was very fond of honey, and we know that honey has a high medicinal value in today's time. So we live in a time where buffet meals are the order of the day. So large amount of extravagant meals consumed together is the way of modern day living. However, the Prophet in Prophetic Medicine teaches us that good health can be established via simplicity. Not to say we can never indulge. However, the times of indulging and buffet meals should be minimal compared to the day-to-day recommendations given via Prophetic Medicine. Because by consuming simple foods, natural foods, foods that are grown in the natural environment, the Prophet various times also recommended eat food of your location. And we know today that foods grown in a certain area is very beneficial for the inhabitants of the area, because the fruit and veg will face the same types of bacteria, viruses that the people would face. So if they survive in that condition, they would contain the necessary antidote or the beneficial vitamins and nutrients that is needed, as opposed to consuming foods that are imported from other areas, which will have some value to it, but not as much as the food of our location. So these are just small recommendations given. However, it has an accumulative effect. As Prophetic Medicine is practiced every day, small changes are made to our diet, our etiquette, what we consume. And over time, these changes has a profound effect on our well-being.
Radio Islam. نحن نضعك على الطريق الصحيح للحياة السعيدة.
Well, Jazakallah khair for that. And that was just one, or rather an introduction to Prophetic Medicine that we want to share with our listeners. And this is something that you can look forward to for the next 4 to 5 weeks during the month of Ramadan, inshallah. And as you know, the buzzwords there for this Ramadan, and obviously for all of us, you know, all the time, should be simplicity, moderation, and purity. It should be the order of the day for all of us, where our food, for, you know, our food is concerned. What we eat, what we ingest all the time, instead of extravagance. And please, once again, to all our listeners out there, I know our freezers are stocked to capacity, but I hope, you know, mothers out there, sisters out there, you know, if you listen to these wonderful audio clips that I will be sharing with you during the month of Ramadan, you will realize that, you know, all those extravagant foods that we have, all those savories, and I know we all do it, unfortunately, but really those are not the foods that we're supposed to be having during the month of Ramadan. We are supposed to be giving our, you know, our stomachs a rest during this month of Ramadan, so that we can, you know, our body can recuperate, you know, kill off all the diseases that are within us. So please, listeners, you know, this is just a plea to everybody out there. I know, really I know, even we are all guilty of it, but please think healthy this month. You know, we need to be happy and healthy and stay healthy, and let this be a beginning, let this be a start where we can change even the way we eat. So hopefully this season is all about changing, so inshallah that will certainly be something that you can look forward to during this month of Ramadan, inshallah. Right, next up will be our program that we're going to be having today, socially speaking, and we're going to be speaking to Maulana Mohammed Benker. He will come on in a few minutes, and today we're going to be discussing Ramadan, just generally, and, you know, the essence of the Holy Quran during the month of Ramadan. We also want to talk about some of the things that we can do this Ramadan to make the most of it, inshallah. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking. I'm your hostess, Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Ramadan starts tomorrow, and we all want to make the most of this blessed month, inshallah. This is a powerful time to nourish your body, your soul, and your purpose. You need to be disciplined in your fasting, your prayer, and your habits. You need to be physically and spiritually prepared for the month of Ramadan. So I hope everybody out there is really, you know, absolutely prepared for the month of Ramadan, inshallah, which starts tomorrow. Joining me is Maulana Mohammed Benker from KwaZulu-Natal. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to your sister Zeenat, and assalamu alaikum to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khairan for the opportunity.
Well, it's wonderful to have you with us again. I know you were not in the country for a while, but inshallah we will be having you for the next few weeks. Every Monday morning you will be on my program, and I'm sure our listeners out there is really looking forward to having you, inshallah, inspire us and motivate us, inshallah, this month of Ramadan.
Yes, inshallah, if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grants us life, and we beg Allah that to take us to Ramadan, let us Ramadan, and let this be a fulfilling Ramadan, and let this be a Ramadan that we can, inshallah, make some changes to our lives, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
So we beg Allah that Allah Ta'ala accept from us, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability that, you know, we take lessons, you know, from this beautiful month of Ramadan.
Okay, now we're just going to be basically just generally speaking about the month of Ramadan. Maulana, maybe I can just, you know, go over to you.
Yeah, okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmatuhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. Respected listeners, when we look at the month of Ramadan, we just want to focus on it from a spiritual dimension. You know, when it's from a physical point of view, you know, in terms of our eating habits, and, you know, we change our diet and whatever have you. This is something that has been discussed, and in terms of our health, what you need to eat, you know, just to keep yourself, motivated, you know, so that you could go through the month of Ramadan. We need to look at the spiritual aspects of Ramadan. What is the wisdom? What is the reason as to why we fast? And I think this is the question we need to ask ourselves. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem, Allah ta'ala in the most beautiful way, Allah ta'ala in the most concise manner, Allah ta'ala explains to us the wisdom and the reason as to why we fast in Ramadan. The famous verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, perhaps many of us know this verse by memory. If not, you know, we have heard this verse, especially in Ramadan, which is normally discussed, it is dissected, it is unpacked by the scholars and the ulama, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that, O you who believe, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been made compulsory, fasting has been made mandatory. The natural question is, Allah, for what reason? Why has Allah made fasting compulsory? Allah Ta'ala himself explains, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, so that you may attain the quality of taqwa. Now we need to understand that, you know, in Ramadan, permissible things have been made impermissible. Reflect over what we are saying. In Ramadan, those things that are normally permissible have been made forbidden whilst fasting. Eating, drinking, cohabitation with one's spouse and one's wife, which are normally permissible in the rest of the year, but whilst fasting in Ramadan, these things have been made impermissible. Can we well imagine if permissible things have been made impermissible, are there any words in any language to explain the crime of committing those crimes that are perpetually forbidden? The misuse of the eyes, the misuse of the tongue, the misuse of the organs of the body to speak lies, to carry tales, to get involved in various wrongs. The Quran says, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِسْمِ وَبَاطِنًا. We need to abstain from all sins, whether it's internal, whether it's external. Abstain from every sin humanly possible. Ramadan is there to discipline our lives. Like sister, you had made mention of, the Ramadan is there to discipline our lives. The famous hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, like I say that these ahadith, many of us know these ahadith, we have heard these ahadith, but we need to understand what is the subtle wisdom, what is the reason as to why Nabi alayhi salam made mention of this. The famous hadith where Nabi alayhi salam said, as long as my ummah will have suhoor and they will break their fast as soon as the time sets in, they will affect the barakah and the mercy of Allah. Now when we analyze this hadith from a from a spiritual connotation, we don't find much lessons in this. But yet again, what is the reason as to why Nabi alayhi salam said this? Every person has the desire to eat right up to the last few moments, and as soon as the time of Maghrib sets in, we want to break our fast. That is a human inclination, that is a human need. The ulama have written so beautifully in this one command that Nabi alayhi salam has given, this is teaching us subservience in totality to the commands of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. Once Subha Sadiq sets in, we stop eating. You take a person who's got no deen in his life, 5 minutes before the time expires, you tell him, why don't you break your fast? He said, no, I will wait the 5 minutes. So we find Ramadan is there to discipline ourselves. It's to discipline our lives. But unfortunately today, what is the problem? And this is something that we need to work on. Number one is that we are restricting our intentions only to Ramadan. We are restricting our intentions only to Ramadan. This is a great month. This is that month where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to forgive. Allah Ta'ala is prepared to pardon. Allah Ta'ala is prepared to wipe away our sins. And, this is the month of forgiveness. A person who is the greatest of sinners, a person who does not even see the masjid throughout the year, but even that person, you speak to such an individual, in his heart is that subtle desire. He wants to become a better person. You want to become a better human being. You want to strengthen that bond with your Creator. This Ramadan, let us capitalize on this opportunity. Let us make that ambition a reality. And let us see how much closer we can get to Allah. Because once the sighting of the crescent of Shawwal, that is the end of the story. Ramadan is over. Like I always say, in a soccer match without any similarity, in a soccer match, during the match, in the last few minutes, every player exerts himself to the maximum. Once the final whistle is blown, once you have seen the crescent of Shawwal, you can score 10 goals, it makes absolutely no difference. So what we are saying, respected listeners, Ramadan is there to discipline ourselves, number one. Number two, Ramadan is for us to gain the proximity of Allah. For us to increase in our ibadah, and for us to do whatever we do, do it solely for the pleasure of Allah. What a beautiful dua. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, subhanallah, that subhanak ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik, subhanak ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifatik, that only Allah, I've not worshipped you as you ought to have been worshipped, and oh Allah, I've not recognized you as you ought to have been recognized. And sometimes we have the tendency, we recite a little Quran, we make some zikr, we fast, we stand in taraweeh, and we feel that we have achieved a lot. The day you think you have done too much, you have done absolutely nothing. We can never do justice to this beautiful month of Ramadan. You know, when we study the lives of our pious predecessors, Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, whom the world till today is indebted to the jurisprudence of Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i, during the month of Ramadan, used to complete 61 Qur'ans. 61 Qur'ans. The month of Ramadan is coming. That's the question. The month of Quran. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the blessedness of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Quran. Ramadan is synonymous to Quran Kareem. What is our attachment with the Quran? You know, unfortunately today this is a common tendency, is that we attach ourselves, you know, for a few days, you know, to the Quran Kareem. We look at our masajid, you know, where the Taraweeh is the fastest, what they speak about, Ya'lamun, Ta'lamun. There we find the crowd is the biggest. Why the other masjid is taking 10 minutes, 15 minutes extra? This masjid, they come out 15 minutes earlier. So there you find the crowd is the biggest. Subhanallah. You know, what have we done? You know, you go to a soccer match today, unfortunately, we find people are looking for the VIP seats. What happens in our masajid today? We are looking for the last stop. When the imam goes into ruku, then I stand up and then I join the ruku. And I walk out of the masjid first, then I walk in last. So this Ramadan is there to discipline us. You know, we have been through so many Ramadans. And really, respected listeners, you know, when we look around us today, every year with social media, we are hearing that this person has passed away, that person has passed away, an alim passes away, a young person passes away. It is indeed a boon and a favor from the side of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with this blessed month of Ramadan. You know, from the last Ramadan to this Ramadan, despite our sinning, we can safely say that you and I are not in a position that we deserve another Ramadan. Yet it is the sheer mercy of Allah. It is the sheer mercy of Allah that Allah once again is about to endow us, favor us, and bless us with this beautiful month of Ramadan. What an amazing month. What a beautiful month of Ramadan. You know, it was the dua of one of the pious scholars of Islam. He used to make this dua. And he used to say that Allahumma la tahrimna khayra ma indaka li sharri ma indana. That, oh Allah, do not deprive us of your favors because of our sinning. Oh Allah, don't hold our wrongs against us. Oh Allah, don't deprive us of your favors. Don't grudge us. Don't hold our wrongs against us. You know, the Quran says, Allah says, if I had to start punishing you proportionate to your actions, you will not find one living creature on the entire face of this earth. It is the sheer mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala affords us this opportunity. Allah is giving us another lifeline. Allah is saying, go, you have disobeyed me 11 months. I'm giving you Ramadan. Do a farz in this month, you will get minimum 70 times the reward. Do a nafil, you will get the reward as though you have carried out a farz. Feed a fasting person, Allah will give you so much. Give a fasting person to drink some water, this is what Allah will give you. Virtue upon virtue, shayateen have been shackled. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the winds of Allah's mercy is blowing. The slave has been transported into the mercy of Allah. What an amazing month. Respected listeners, Ramadan will come, Ramadan will go. We can get up in the morning, we can fast. You know, how many times we have heard these comments? People will say, how can I just pass my time? You know, how can I kill time in Ramadan? Is the time to kill when we study the lives of our pious predecessors? Allahu Akbar, Hassan Basri used to say, أَدْرَتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانَ أَحَدُهُمُ الشَّحَّى. I sat with a group of Sahaba who were more possessive over the time than the wealth. Time meant more to them than money. Once Ramadan is gone, you cannot get it back. You know, like we find a person who misses one fast of Ramadan, you can fast for the rest of your life. It will not equate one fast of Ramadan. from there we can understand these are moments that we need to cherish, these are moments that we need to, you know, keep close to our hearts. Let us capitalize on this opportunity. Let us not waste a moment. Let us capitalize, inshallah. If last Ramadan I made two khatams, make this intention. You know, this Ramadan I will increase it. Last Ramadan I read the Quran, I read my Taraweeh for the first few nights and the last few nights. Make this intention that this Ramadan I will make sure I read all my Taraweeh. If last Ramadan I got up just before Suhoor, I made my Sahari. Make this intention. I will get up a few moments earlier, a few minutes earlier, and I will read the two rakats of Tahajjud Salah. It will add a new flavor to your month. It will add value to this beautiful month of Ramadan. And then I promise you, respected listeners, once we come to the end of Ramadan, you know, the satisfaction that a person feels, the closeness that a person feels to Allah. But like I said in the beginning, we need to make this intention. Not only Ramadan, oh Allah, as long as I live, you grant me the tawfiq to live my life in such a manner. Like when a person passed the entire month of Ramadan, you know, we anticipate the beautiful day of Eid. Who knows, we pass Ramadan with the correct spirit. Let us welcome this month with the correct zeal. When the time comes for us to leave this world, like a person is anticipating, you know, the crescent of Shawwal, the day of Eid, we will meet Allah with that very same spirit, inshallah.
Inshallah. Indeed, what an amazing month, and inshallah, may we cherish every moment, you know, of this month, inshallah. Make the most of it and not forget, you know, just make as much, you know, take out, just go out of your way to do the most that you possibly can this month, inshallah. Mulana, now there are some people that will be prevented from the blessings of this month. Who are those?
Yeah, this is something very, very important. The famous hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, where he ascended the pulpit and, you know, he said Ameen. He ascended the pulpit and he said Ameen. And then when he, Sahaba Ikram, asked him, what is the meaning of this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Jibreel came to me and he made that dua that may Allah distance that person. May Allah distance that person from the hell, from, you know, from the gardens of Jannah, from the mercy of Allah. Number one is a person who hears the name of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he does not send salutations upon Nabi alayhi salam. Number two, the one who sees either both his parents or either one of them and he does not attain Jannah through serving his parents. Nabi alayhi salam has cursed such a person. He said, may Allah distance that person from his mercy. The person who hears my name, he does not send salutations upon me. The second is that person who finds the presence of both his parents or either one of his parents and he does not enter Jannah by serving his parents. And number three, the Nabi of Allah said, may Allah distance that person from his mercy who finds the blessed month of Ramadan, a great month, such a magnanimous month. What a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful month of Ramadan. But despite finding Ramadan, a person does not attain the forgiveness of Allah. A person does not attain the forgiveness of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam is literally begging us. Allah is giving you Ramadan. Allah is giving you another lifeline. But after witnessing Ramadan, after being given this Ramadan, you still do not capitalize on this opportunity. You don't use this money to attain the mercy of Allah. Then Nabi alayhi salam says, may Allah distance that person, you know, from his rahmah. May Allah ta'ala distance that person from his mercy. Yeah, again, when we analyze this particular hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen. Nabi alayhi salam never cursed any person. You know, for the Nabi of Allah to make such a dua or to say Ameen to such a dua, we can understand the gravity of the crime, you know, the boldness of the sin, the greatness of the transgression that a person, after finding this blessed month of Ramadan, where Allah Ta'ala has promised He's forgiven us. Allah Ta'ala has promised that He will forgive. And yet again, Mullah Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib Muhajir Madani used to write, is to say that today, unfortunately, the Ummah is not making Tawbah. What is Tawbah? Tawbah is, oh Allah, I've committed many sins in my life. Oh Allah, I've transgressed your limits. oh Allah, you forgive me. I make this intention, I pledge in my heart, oh Allah. Make this intention, the ulama have written, the first step of recovery is to make the intention of giving up the wrong. That is the first step. We all know we are sinners. Every one of us, some of us have committed different crimes. We all know what sins we are involved in. The first step of recovery, as we will say, is to make the intention of giving up the wrong. Once we make the intention, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy for us to give up the wrong. But unfortunately, we have not given up that, we have not made the intention. You know, the ulama have written that Allah Ta'ala accepted when Adam alayhi salam had eaten from that forbidden tree and he was expelled from Jannah. Allah Ta'ala had forgiven Adam alayhi salam for five reasons. Number one is aqarra ala nafsihi. He admitted his wrong, he acknowledged his mistake. It's time we admit our wrong. We acknowledge our mistakes. We need to admit that we have a problem. We are faced with spiritual maladies, spiritual sicknesses. You know, we need to admit our wrong, acknowledge our mistake. The first step is make the intention. Number two, Adam alayhi salam regretted his wrong. Nadima. He regretted his wrong. You know, sometimes the child upsets you, you become frustrated, and maybe you slap your child or you hit your son, and after a few moments, once your anger subsides, and then you go and you embrace your child and you tell him, I love you, you know, forgive me, you give him a kiss, you buy him a box of chocolates, you buy him some sweets. Why? You regret your wrong. Has regret really come into our hearts for disobeying Allah? That's number two. Number three, lama nafsa. Adam alayhi salam, he blamed himself and no one else. Blame no one else and blame ourselves. We blame the environment, we blame this, we blame that. We don't blame ourselves. Attribute that sin to us. Number four, asra'u tawbah. Adam alayhi salam hastened in making tawbah. This is the moment of forgiveness. Ramadan is an opportunity where Allah will forgive us. And number five, Adam alayhi salam, the ulama have written, why did Allah accept his forgiveness? He did not become despondent in the mercy of Allah. No matter what sin we might have committed, whether you're involved in drugs, whether gambling, womanizing, whatever sin you are involved in. Like I said, number one, make the intention of giving it up. And then we need to start moving away from the wrong. So don't become despondent in the mercy of Allah. أَسْتَرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, don't become despondent in the mercy of Allah. Allah will forgive all your sins. Allah will pardon all your sins. تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. Allah says, from the deep recesses of your heart, turn to Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness and make a lot of tawbah. So in essence, Ramadan is the month of forgiveness, the month of tawbah for us to turn to Allah.
Okay, Jazakallah khair for that, Malana. We'll take a short break. When we return, we continue. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Malana, Jazakallah khair for joining us on this day, just the day before the month of Ramadan. Thank you so much for all the advices that you shared with us. Just to end our program today, Malana, what advice and would you like to share with our listeners, or what message would you like to share with our listeners?
Respected listeners, like I mentioned, this is the month of Quran. Let us increase the attachment and the bond with the Quran Kareem. Those of us who are, who have the knowledge of Quran, let us take this knowledge and disseminate it to others. Those of us who don't understand the Quran, unfortunately today we have not studied the language of Quran. We have barred ourselves from volumes of Islamic knowledge. The message of Quran, the Quran is an ocean of knowledge. Let us go and swim in this ocean. And let us take out the jewels and the pearls from the Quran Kareem. So inshallah, let this Ramadan be a different Ramadan. We need to increase our iman. Innamal mu'minun alladhina idha dhukira Allah wajilat qulubuhum wa idha tuliyat alayhim ayatu zadatum imana. Allah says, when the words of the Quran are recited, your iman needs to increase. So inshallah, let us approach Ramadan with a different spirit. Fast with a different zeal. Let us stand in Taraweeh, listen to the Quran Kareem being recited with a different fervor, a different desire. And like I mentioned, let us fast with a different zeal. Who knows? You know, fasting this 1 month for the pleasure of Allah could be a means of our salvation and the salvation of our families. you know, from the fire of Jahannam. So we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us. Allah ta'ala bless this ummah, those who are going through difficulty in different parts of the world. Allah ta'ala ease in the plight of the ummah. Inshallah, from next week, I think we will be coming on every Monday morning. We ask Allah ta'ala to bless each and every one of us till we meet again next week, inshallah, in the blessed month of Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I would like to take this opportunity, Maulana, to wish you and your family and all our listeners Ramadan Mubarak or Ramadan Kareem. We ask Allah to grant us the ability to change ourselves for the better during this blessed month, and you know, for us not to be of those who are prevented from His mercy and forgiveness, inshallah. Indeed, He is the one who hears and He is the one to respond. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.